John Wicks of the Records, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more. Plus, advance notice of close-up conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Socrates, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org/support. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Mark Pollock in Climax, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Both chambers of the New York State Legislature have included coverage for all legislation in their respective budgets. The bills would update the state's Affordable Care Act Section 1332 waiver to make coverage available for all income-eligible people, regardless of their immigration status. Studies show half of likely undocumented immigrants and around 18% of lawfully present immigrants are uninsured. Arlene Cruz Escobar with Make the Road New York says the challenges stemming from a lack of coverage make life harder for this population.
A lot of these preventable illnesses are going undetected, and so unfortunately people are getting sicker. It also means that a lot of people who currently are sick aren't able to actually access the medication that they need.
One of the biggest obstacles to passing this bill is anti-immigrant rhetoric spreading across the country. However, many groups across the state submitted testimony declaring their support and need for this bill. Cruz Escobar says the growing migrant population in places such as New York City has made this bill more necessary. The New York State Comptroller's Office finds the number of migrants not living in New York City but still in its care grew from 276 last May to more than 2,100 last September. Beyond helping immigrants, this bill would benefit the state financially. The New York City Comptroller's Office estimates passing coverage for all will generate $710 million in annual benefits. Cruz Escobar describes other elements of the bill.
Furthermore, we have also included in our legislation language around giving the Commissioner of Health the ability to set up guardrails to ensure that for this expansion, we don't overexceed the amount of surplus that's available.
She says the commissioner would also ensure there would be no additional cost through state dollars. Estimates show New York State plans to spend more than $4 billion between 2022 and 2026 on issues related to migrants. Current spending is estimated at around $690 million. This is Edwin J. Vieira for New York News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
It's the first time that anybody is going to be trying to arrive to the shores of Gaza in years because it's been a Navy blockade.
World Central Kitchen chef Jose Andres is leading distribution of 200 tons of food in Gaza this week, the first aid brought in by ship in a decade and a half. Andres is calling for a ceasefire and encouraging Israel to let more food in. Former President Donald Trump spoke to supporters in Ohio and continues to use violent and authoritarian rhetoric. He warned of a, quote, bloodbath, unquote, if he's not reelected, and said undocumented immigrants are not people.
If you call them people, I don't know if you call them people. In some cases, they're not people, in my opinion.
A recent Gallup poll suggests immigration has replaced the economy and inflation as a top issue. Former Vice President Mike Pence says he won't endorse Trump despite being proud of what they accomplished.
Said during my presidential campaign, I made it clear that there were profound differences between me and President Trump on a range of issues. And not just our difference on my constitutional duties that I exercised on January the 6th.
Trump continues to praise January 6th rioters, some of whom chanted "Hang Mike Pence," when it became clear that the then vice president would certify Joe Biden's victory. California Democratic Congressman Robert Garcia says it's shameful that Trump is referring to January 6th insurrectionists as hostages. He's calling on Republicans to stand up to the former president.
Quite frankly, they're cowardly. They need to come out and take Donald Trump on for, in my opinion, the traitor that he is.
A new analysis by Carbon Brief projects that a second Trump administration would allow 4 billion tons of added climate pollution. Simon Evans is the report's co-author.
That amount of extra emissions, 4 billion tons of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030, that would cause global climate damages worth something like $900 billion.
Trump has repeatedly claimed climate change is a hoax and says he would boost oil drilling to maintain American energy dominance. The report says a second Biden administration would cut emissions but still miss a 2030 target. Vice President Kamala Harris hosted rapper Fat Joe at the White House. They discussed marijuana reform, and she encouraged the DEA to reschedule it as a less dangerous drug.
Nobody should have to go to jail for smoking weed. And what we need to do is recognize that far too many people have been sent to jail for simple marijuana possession.
Meanwhile, according to the National Conference of State Legislatures, since 2020, 14 states, red and blue, often responding to specific threats, have passed laws to protect election workers. And finally, voting rights advocates say they're preparing for a challenging election. Cecilia Wang is deputy legal director for the ACLU.
We have our rapid response plans in battleground states to contend with any barriers that voters might encounter.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported extensively last year on the alleged tampering of electronic vote tabulators in Michigan following the 2020 election. The first of three trials is imminent, but after failing to appear at multiple court hearings, one election denier defendant faces even more charges. Reuters reports that Stephanie Lambert Juntilla was part of a team of lawyers connected to Sidney Powell, who led former President Trump's court challenges of the 2020 presidential election results. She was allegedly in the room when Matthew DiPerno, a candidate for Michigan Attorney General, and Dare Rendon, a Michigan state representative, attempted to access the data in a Dominion Voting Systems electronic ballot tabulator in a suburban Detroit hotel room. The three were charged with conspiracy and unlawful possession of a voting machine last August. Trials were originally scheduled for early March, but according to the Michigan Advance, Lambert Juntilla failed to appear for two pretrial hearings, and an Oakland County judge issued an arrest warrant March 8th. Reuters later reported that March 13th, while under indictment and subject to an arrest warrant, she was in a Washington, D.C. courtroom representing Overstock.com CEO Patrick Byrne against Dominion Voting Systems' $1.6 billion defamation lawsuit. Lambert Juntilla's trial is scheduled to begin April 1st. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, March 18th. We are 21% of the way through the year. There is one day left until the spring equinox. Local early morning temperatures range from 27 degrees in Steventown to 35 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 42 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Just the trees so far. Cold morning turns chilly by the afternoon. A high of 45 happens at 3 p.m. Grab a jacket or extra hoodie, winds will get gusty. Around 4 p.m., chances for rain, snow, or a mix enter the area. Should not last past 9 p.m. with no accumulation expected. Overnight, temperatures drop to 30 degrees. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with some still gusty but not damaging winds. A high of 43 happens at 3 p.m. Overnight, temperatures drop to 32 degrees and snow should be falling by morning on Wednesday. A mix should fall all day with no serious accumulation expected unless you are on the mountain. You guys are looking at a half inch. That could change, so we'll keep an eye on it. Overnight, temperatures dip to 25 degrees. Thursday, windy and very cold. But the sun finally showing up may try to fool you. Sunset today will be at 6:51 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:57 a.m. Looking way up, we see Anhedukin was released yesterday, and due to the Russell McFerrin effect this time of year, even a light interaction could spark auroras. X-Class flare chances are at 5%, plasma winds will be slow at 298 kilometers per second with a thin density of 2 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. There are low chances for aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 86. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Say, Dad, I have an upset stomach.
I've got just the thing. Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms. Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms combine the smooth, pleasing flavor of lard with the soothing qualities brought to us through science.
It smells funny.
That's our special ingredient, uranium, the scent of the powerful atom. It's strong, but that's how you know it's working. Feeling better yet, sweetheart?
Sure am. Thanks, Dad.
Don't thank me. Thank science.
Dr. Whitaker's Larded Atoms in 5 or 10 ounce bottles at your local grocer. If you think you're smart, then use your cranium. Start each morning with uranium.
The band Skyfurs has Columbia County poet Karen Chomer fronting the Albany-based band Burnt Hills. Here's a recording from a Saratoga performance, May 22nd, 2017.
Thank you. the room. A row of blue doors face the ocean. Narrow timber legs extended down the cliffside beneath the balcony. The lock was broken on the inside. We didn't know what to do. There was no phone, no TV. We were afraid to leave. Painting of the ocean hung next to a window with the same view. The sun hastened its hours. The moon pulled the tide of our hands.
Martin is a musician that lives in Troy, New York, and used to be a member of Hudson's Bunny Brains. In 2009, he recorded an album in a cabin near the Great Sacadanga Lake in upstate New York called Adirondack Power and Light.
And it's been released in 2021 by Specific Recordings and includes this track called Henry Hudson.
Henry Hudson, where are you hiding? Henry Hudson, where are you hiding? Where are you hiding, 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 Henry, Henry Hudson? Gonna find you, Henry Hudson. Gonna find you. I've been searching for Henry Hudson. Gonna find you. Gonna find you. Find you. Henry Hudson, where you hiding? Henry Hudson, where you hiding? Where you hiding, Henry? Searching every which way, Henry Hudson, where are you today? Henry Hudson,
Next, we hear brand new local music from the Field Knots. That is Columbia County-based poet Karen Schomer on vocals and Robert Lloyd providing the music on this song called Snow, a 2022 release.
On shapes. Circles next to circles. Triangles next to squares. This psychological experiment will determine if you're capable of happiness. I'm good at games, but I haven't yet received a reward. Colored flags, small like pennants, snap in February wind. I watch the cold, surviving paper lanterns mistakenly left outside. Those shrubs could be forsythia. A question mark path leads across the field. Tiny V's and T's float lackadaisical, but not unbeautiful. Patterns inflict themselves. Mother, father, sister, brother. Arranged as columns, with a candle in between, to nudge me away from the regularity that becomes a hiding place in everyday life.
That was Farfisa Gnome Fish Chord from Catskill's Rodney Allen Greenbat from his 2021 album To Just Be.
From Hudson, here's Lady Moon and the Eclipse with a 2019 release, La Petite Prince.
We'll be right back. But for me, it was always too slow. With you, not again. Will we be where we've been? The colors we've seen faded between the days and nights. We were dazed and bright. The way we might diminish the lights, and it was all too thin. I take a little. Between the cells of my skin, you see, ignoring the look and the shimmer you took from me, surrounded by the other flowers. Silence showers our hearts with spoken sense, arriving after hours in the moment of knowing there is more than we see. But before we realize how wide open our eyes can be,
take me for a ride.
Talking with Rachel Foss, who is with Reinvent Albany, and this week has been Sunshine Week, trying to open up public access to the government, and many groups joined with Reinvent Albany to send a letter to the governor and legislative leaders about trying to improve the Freedom of Information Law. So maybe just start off, Rachel, a little bit about what is Sunshine Week, and why do we need to improve freedom of information in New York State?
Sure. So thanks so much for having me. Sunshine Week, it's a nationally recognized week that actually journalists, news media organizations started a number of years ago to really highlight how important our freedom of information laws and how important public access is to holding government accountable. And it's something that obviously the press has a lot of interest in as they're covering state government, but also groups like mine, watchdog groups, and a number of other groups who sent this letter to the governor and the legislative leaders. Because I think no matter what your issue area, whether you're an environmental advocate, a civil rights advocate, how government does its job and having the documents and records to see, it's really important to make sure we can hold state government accountable. And that's what Sunshine Week is really all about.
Now, I'll mention when I was a legal intern for NYPIRG, New York Public Interest Research Group, one of the groups signing this letter, 50 years ago, I actually did the landmark Freedom of Information Law case in New York State, Dunleavy versus Goldmark. And as several people pointed out, while the lawsuit was actually pretty important, established a right to the public to get information, it also unfortunately provided a roadmap for how state bureaucrats could legally evade the law with respect to freedom of information. So what are some of the problems that we see when we're actually trying to get information out of these state agencies?
Sure. So I actually, we did a report just this in March of this year, looking at the different FOIL requests that six big agencies in New York State get. This includes the MTA that runs the subways. And, unfortunately, from looking at all the log of their Freedom of Information requests, it's really clear that they don't really, agencies by and large, don't meet the deadlines set in the law. And so in theory, agencies are supposed to turn over documents within 20 days, but because of a lot of case law and different exceptions and exemptions to the law, in practice, it really doesn't happen that way. Records access requests get extended and extended, and you might go months or even years before you find out, actually, you don't even get the record after all, we're going to deny you. And the only recourse that really exists is going to court, and not everybody can afford that. So that's why, you know, we can get into it a little bit more, but the letter highlights four bills to tighten up the law and make sure the law is as strong as possible so that the freedom of information law really lives up to the promises of when it was passed, you know, in the 1970s.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago for these groups that were working to stop the frack gas turbine that Governor Cuomo wanted to add on to Sheridan Avenue. We actually got to the point where the Department of State said that the New York Power Authority was violating the law by not providing us a copy of the request for proposal for the power plant. And it still took them 4 or 5 months before they would comply with the law after official state ruling. So, you mentioned there are four bills. What's the Information Law Timeline Act?
Sure. So the Timeline Act really helps to ensure that, you know, like I said, now the law says in 5 days and an agency has to acknowledge a request, and then 20 days is in theory when they're supposed to get it to you. But case law is really destroyed, unfortunately, that 20-day time period. So it sets up some firm deadlines. So if an agency doesn't acknowledge your request at all, which, mind you, happens a lot, unfortunately, at the local level, you can automatically appeal that and start the process of getting the records. It also ensures that if an agency is going to deny you, they have 30 days to deny you, not, you know, endless extensions with a denial after, you know, you've been waiting around for months. And then if an agency is going to give you records, they have to do so in 60 days. So this really is, it's almost a reset, getting us back to where we think we should be with the timelines and the law, and really making it clearer for the public and the courts when these timelines are supposed to occur. So that's the Timeline Act.
One of the other bills actually provide attorney fees in successful litigation. Why is that important?
So there have been some changes, and actually, you know, Reinvent Albany fought for some of the changes in 2017 to make it easier for government agencies, I'm sorry, members of the public who have to go to court to get reimbursed if they win and get the records after all, if the court determines that the agency improperly denied them the records. But there's a couple pieces of the law that make it so that there's too much discretion, we believe, for the judges. So you don't have to just win, you have to substantially prevail. And what does substantially mean? And then also, you know, there's language around what is a reasonable amount of time or reasonable case for the agency to prevent the records from being turned over. So the attorney's fee bill really just, again, cleans up the language. And if you win records in court, you should be able to get the attorney's fees paid to you. And this is really the only, you know, there's no fines in the Freedom of Information Law if an agency doesn't turn over records, but this certainly would make them, I think twice before they deny records, because there would be a cost, and more consistently a cost that would be paid if they don't turn over the records and the public has to go to court.
Now, things like compliance with information law, you know, it really starts at the top. You know, how is the governor really telling his agencies or her agencies how to comply? So has there been any improvement under Governor Hochul? And, you know, you sent this letter from dozens, many dozen groups. You know, what has the response been from the legislative leaders?
So, you know, there have been, out of this package of bills, you know, and I should mention some of the sponsors, you know, Senator Skoufis, Senator Hoylman Sigal, and Senator Liu. You know, the Senate's passed 2 out of 4 of these bills already. Unfortunately, we haven't seen movement in the Assembly yet. There's Assemblymember Steck and Assemblymember Raga, who's a freshman member, have introduced some of these bills. So there has been some movement in the Senate, and that's really why 2 of those bills are at the top of our list. The governor, as you mentioned, you know, has said that transparency is a priority, and there have been transparency plans that agencies have released about how they're going to implement, you know, changes to the Freedom of Information Law, how they're going to put more open data online, but there aren't really any teeth to that plan process. And agencies kind of wrote what they, you know, they kind of wrote what they'd like to do and see, but they, there wasn't really, it wasn't a directive telling them exactly how to be more transparent. So that's really why I think the bills are necessary to force some compliance with the law, and rather than sort of rely on agencies to do it out of the goodness of their hearts, because we really think it should be treated like a public service, a core public service of government.
Now, this doesn't directly get covered by your letter, but one of the things I've also noticed recently is state agencies such as the Department of Health and the Department of Environmental Conservation have been increasingly restricting what they put on their websites, and in fact often have been taking information off once community groups are looking at it. How is the issue of transparency and website access dealt with?
So, yeah, unfortunately, I think the only proactive disclosure requirements in the law right now are, you know, there's an open data executive order. So agencies are supposed to be proactively disclosing any public data they have on this open data portal. But in practice, it really depends on the agency if they prioritize it. And then, you know, if there's records related to a public meeting, so say there's a vote where a contract's going to be voted on, you know, certain materials have to be posted online. But I would say by and large, our law doesn't require proactive publishing of government records. And, you know, I'd like to point to another bill in the package called the FOIL Reporting Act. We'd like to see from each agency what requests are coming in. That agency, hey, you got 20 requests for the same document. Why don't you put it online?
We've been talking with Rachel Force from Reinvent Albany Sunshine Week, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Hudson's Rebecca Borer has an audio project called Rager and a 2023 album called Presence is a Present. This is Light the Candle from Rager on the radio.
Harmonize with the spheres. I've been waiting on my tears to tell me. Coming out of the cracks now, it's coming out.
from his 2023 album Leisureland. That's Catskill's Reckless Eric with They Come Free With Cornflakes on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. We've got 2019 new music from Catskill's Ross Goldstein just out, called Obsidian Cat 2 on the radio at WGXC.
Set the moon, set the situation. Imagine that he's sitting in a congregation. Hey, he's talking about Judgment Day. Listen real close, hear what he say. You better run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. God Almighty's gonna cut you down. Gonna tell that lonesome liar. Gonna tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, rambler, backbiter, God Almighty's gonna cut you down.
one hand on my head. Great God Almighty, let me tell you what he said. Better run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. God Almighty's gonna cut you down. Throw a rope, hide your hand. Working in the dark against fellow man. Sure as God, maybe day and night. What you do in the dark will be brought to light. You may run and hide, slip and slide. Trying to take the mold from your neighbor's eye. Sure as the Lord, maybe rich or poor. What you reap, my brother, is what you sow. You may run on for a long time. Run on.
Here's new music from the Magnetic Fields from their 50-song memoir from 2017. The song is called No from the Magnetic Fields.
Is there a man in heaven looking out for you? Is there a place dead loved ones go? Is there a source of wisdom that will see you through? Will there be peace in our time? No. We knew Camus, the faith healer, the black Christ, he said, laying his hands on high and low. Did he cure Scott says there's flying saucers hiding inside our hollow moon. And then there's Carl the car carrying communists, 'cause revolution's coming soon. Carolyn believes in fairies.
My mother built